In this league's real
Big Three,
Scott Bogman, Roto World's Jonas Nader, and Hoopball's Dan Bespris. The In This League Real Big Three.
Welcome in, everybody. It's a weekend edition of the Real Big Three brought to you by In This League. We are having so much fun here. The trade deadline is past. I think I can officially give up on basketball now, guys. The Rockets are so horrible to watch. It's not fun at all. I mean, look, the fantasy relevance of some of these guys is fun, but it's not fun to watch this. But we got the trade deadline. It's the biggest weekend of the year as far as just watching to see what kind of pickups are going on. If you guys don't know what this is or who this is Scott Bogman from In This League. I call it the Real Big Three because I'm joined by Dan Bespris of Hoopball.com and Jonas Nader of NBC Sports Edge. So, Dan, how's your weekend, man? How's it going so far?
I literally cannot stop sneezing to save my life. So I wanted to say that first so that midway through the show, if I'm like, you see me looking down, if you're watching the video version, it's me fiddling with my mixer so you guys aren't hearing me like sneeze and sniffle. I don't know what's going on, guys. I've been debilitated by pollen.
He's allergic to oxygen right now, Danny.
What's the bit where, is it a Chris Farley bit where they're like asking him what makes him sweat and he's just for me, it's now currently what makes you sneeze, and it's everything. I wrinkle my face. Anyway, I'm extra piss and vinegar on this one today because I'm not sleeping very well.
As ornery, Dan.
I am a bit ornery.
Ornery.
Yeah.
So, Jonas, how's we're doing this on Saturday because Jonas had a nice flood in his basement, just to top everything off here, enough isn't going on. So how are you doing besides all your stuff getting ruined?
Yeah, we're doing okay. If you guys don't know, we're running basically a one bedroom. It's basically a garage rental house because this is the only house within 30 miles of our house we're constructing right now. And we were supposed to be in by Christmas, and now we're heading into May, probably the early June would be moving in. So about a year and a half late, but that's okay. We're making the best of it. So yeah, and our garage flooded yesterday with about 3 inches of water. May have ruined a table. We'll see if we can salvage it. But yeah, a lot of boxes got wet too. So got 3 box fans on them full time. So it's been fun. But yeah, been wired since the trade deadline. It was a fun trade deadline though. Lots of trades, not really too much of a fantasy impact, but yeah, it was still pretty fun.
Yeah, it was. I would say from our perspective, it was a weird deadline because, I was talking about this on my Sports Grid show with the Welsh this weekend. And, we were talking about it was just weird to see the big trade go from a team that is way out of the playoffs to a team that is still out of the playoffs. You know, Vooch going to Chicago was kind of surprising to see, but it was a weird, weird weekend. So I'll just kick us off here. And I just want to know, what do you guys expect with Oladipo going to the Heat? And this was one that came post deadline, of the time, because like Dan mentioned on your show on Fantasy NBA Today, that they just had to be on the phone at 3 o'clock Eastern. They didn't have to have the deal done by 3 o'clock Eastern, which is a weird rule to me. Like, are the GMs traveling with like enforcement people watching them? And by the way, why couldn't I just have every single GM on a burner phone at 3 o'clock? So it's a dumb rule, but anyway, I don't want to go down too many tangents today, but Oladipo on the Heat, Dan, what do you expect? What do you expect out of him going there?
That's a really good question, because he's been intermittently decent this year, and then for the most part he's just been a usage kind of vacuum on a team of them in Houston here lately. He'll have a role. It does feel like one of those situations where a guy is going to a place where he feels like he can compete, and that'll bring out sort of a better iteration of himself. But he's not the alpha, he's not even really the beta on that team. Bam and Jimmy, flip it, most likely are your sort of two lead horses. But he'll have dibs on pretty much anything else. Like, he'll come before Duncan Robinson, before Tyler Hero, before Goran Dragic, all these guys. The Heat are were, you know, fairly well loaded up and for making a little run. He makes them better. But fantasy wise, I think it might be one of those situations where you sort of try to convince yourself that a dip in usage and a spike in efficiency could balance each other out. And maybe that is indeed the case, but he's not a guy I'm racing out to try to trade for, if that's the sort of overarching question there. If you've got him, stick with him. If you don't, probably just let this thing ride.
Yeah. Jonas. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Case scenario, probably top 75. We're talking a 24-4 player with maybe one steal, but efficiency, like Dan said, it's been actually awful. Like Deion Waiters, like efficiency there. I'm curious to see if he rests on back-to-backs, because obviously that hurt him in Houston a lot. Miami are not doing so hot. I think they've lost like six straight games, so they obviously got to make up for lost time. So that'll help Depot in a way. But yeah, top 75 is probably the best case scenario for him. I just don't see much left in him. Like, if you got traded for Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley, what does that tell you? You know?
Yeah, yeah, that was crazy. That was a hill of beans. You got traded for a hill of beans.
Yep. You should have seen my face, because we were recording as that trade happened, the Welsh and I, the Oladipo trade.
Poor Box.
And I'm reading it and I go, oh, they did trade Oladipo for Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley and a swap.
A swap. Don't forget
the swap. My face, I don't know how to explain it for those of you listening and not seeing, but I went from like, oh, they did trade him, to like, hey, what did we get? Big joy. And then I read it and my face just sank and all of the joy came out of my whole body. I don't understand.
It's like, you know, they called Dan to get the Olynyk hype talk, right? Because for a couple of weeks,
he's your guy. Like, he's your guy. Go get him.
I heard Dan on Twitter say this about Kelly Olynyk. We had to pull the trigger.
Oh my God! Yeah, that is a great point, man. That is exactly. You must have been talking to Dan, Kelly Olynyk's hype man. Which, look, he could have some value in Houston. So we'll see.
Man.
But and Avery Bradley, Texas. So, you know, the Rockets are doing exactly what I would do in like an NBA 2K teardown. I would just trade for all of the Longhorns that are in the NBA and see how long I can do that so I can get some high picks. You know, my next question here, and Jonas, I'll of course start with you for this one. What are we going to expect? How much is it going to sting Moses Brown now that the Thunder didn't trade Al Horford? We thought that deal was hopefully going to get done by the deadline because they've been playing him intermittently. And I don't know. I just hate it. You know, Horford's too good to be bought out. I don't think that's going to happen. So he sticks there in that front court and kind of messes up some stuff for us, right?
Yeah, not to mention he has more than 1 year in his deal too. So this isn't really a buyout scenario. One thing that was interesting is that their coach, who I don't even know how to pronounce, he was saying that even though Horford's still around, Moses Brown's development is the priority. And he went on like a minute tangent. He was like, we're very optimistic about where Moses is as a player right now. He did say that he's still raw, but that just means they're going to play him even more just to explore like what they've got in him. So he also mentioned the possibility of playing Horford next to Moses Brown too for a couple minutes a game too. So, and like we said, he's been rested. I called him the world's most rested man. So
that sounds nice though, doesn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. It does. It sounds like a great job to have.
Yeah. So he sat out like five of his last eight games or something crazy like that. So yeah, I'm very low on Horford going forward and very high on Moses Brown. I think he's going to have a big finish.
Yeah, I was always pretty skeptical that they could move Horford. I think, aren't there 2 years left on his deal? And it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
He was a guy that really fit the mold of a Roto Games Cap kind of late draft pick this year, because you knew when he was in there, he was going to be awesome. This was all about the rehabilitation of his value. What does it look like when he's playing center, not alongside Joel Embiid? Is there something left in the tank? And he showed that there is, but I think they always knew they weren't going to be able to move him mid-season. He's got 20. I had to look it up now. He's got $27 million on his contract for next year, and another 26.5 for the following year. Although I think there's some sort of weird cap hit thing that switches, but I don't understand that part. Point is, he's had $100 million deal last year. So moving someone with that much time left on their contract was going to be damn near impossible. Even next year is going to be hard to unload Horford, although certainly a little bit of a better chance. But yeah, he's resting. He rested both halves of a back-to-back. He was literally so tired just from the idea of his team playing two games in two nights that he rested them both. So, yeah, with Jonas on this one, Moses Brown is in. He's been playing 25 to 30 minutes even when Horford plays.
Yep.
So you have nothing to worry about there unless you're making a hard push at free throw percent, in which case it's probably not going to help you. But his rebounding is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Roll him out there wherever you can.
All right. My last question here is Wendell Carter Jr. going to Orlando in the Vooch deal. I obviously, this is a good landing spot for him because they don't have much there. So what do you think, Dan, I'll start with you here. What do you think Wendell Carter Jr. ranks from when he starts with Orlando to the end of the year? What would you give that ranking window?
I'll put him around the top 80 range. I do think they'll still sort of carve out some minutes for Mo Bamba and Kem Birch, who played a ton last night. I don't
very
think
upset the Rockets didn't trade for Mo Bamba. By
yeah,
the way.
He missed out on one of your guys right there. It's foolish. Obviously, these guys are coming. Well, you know what? You only have so many superstars to trade away. You know, Rockets. What are you doing? I'm not as bullish on Wendell Carter Jr. as some, and I know I'm sort of always Buzz Killington over here.
who wants to hear a nice story about a bridge?
I'm not convinced Wendell Carter Jr. is good. Are you? Like, he hasn't been good. Yeah, no. Like, I was very high on him coming out of the draft. He looked really good at Duke. Remember, he was getting Al Horford comparisons coming out of Duke, and then he just got to the NBA, never once demanded the ball. Like, he doesn't call for the ball in the post. No aggression. Has struggled to catch the ball at times. We've heard all about his playmaking, but I haven't seen much of it. Have you? Like, he's supposed to be this really good passer, and I haven't really seen much of it yet. So,
yeah, I hope with a new, you know, a new coach in Orlando that maybe he gets more aggressive. I mean, you almost think he has to. Like, there was such screwiness going on in Chicago while he was there too. So, hopefully, that set him back a little bit, and you know. Not saying that it's going to be more stable, but hopefully Orlando is more stable, even though they're in a teardown. He's at least going to get more time. So I want to add him and just see, you know, in a lot of my leagues.
You definitely pick him up to see what happens. Like, it'll be easier to demand the basketball from Chasen Randall than it is from Zach LaVine. Sorry, Chasen.
How dare you?
This
How
is an opportunity you. Is greater than talent moment for sure.
Yeah. So sorry, Chasen Randall. Didn't mean to pick on you there. But yeah. Not Zach LaVine.
All right. That's it for me. That's my three subjects. So let's go to Jonas. What do you have? Number one. What's up? Number one.
Okay. Here? Sorry. I didn't have it pulled up. I think it's Daniel Gafford. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's it.
Tiz.
Okay, cool. All right. So I actually like him a lot to pick up. I'm not sure how many. Let me see if he's picked up anywhere. I want to see what his percent on Yahoo is real quick.
Very low.
Only 4%. So if you're picking up Gafford, you're getting down on the ground floor. It sounds like he's going to debut tonight. I wasn't ready to add until I saw what Scott Brooks said about him yesterday. So I'm going to look at that real quickly. He said Gafford's a really great big. He expects him to start sooner rather than later. Bradley Beal went on a tangent about him too, saying this is the first time I've had a lob threat. Which is true, right? He's had Robin Lopez and Alex Lynn. God bless them. So, Bradley Beal found something to throw it to. It's awesome.
Good Lord. How badly did that team need Thomas Bryant to not have a season ending injury?
Right.
A lot.
Talking about one of the most athletic centers in the league, a really good block rate of well. I'm going to go to his, Bogman requested his per 36 line. So
wondering what that is, you know.
So he's at 3.2 blocks for his career per 36, 14 points, almost 10 rebounds, almost two assists as well, one steal. So there is some upside here. The only thing is if he couldn't break on Chicago, what was the reason, right? Because we've only seen little flashes of upside here and there. So what was the reason you couldn't break out in Chicago, and why was Luke Kornet getting minutes over you last year? Obviously, that could be the coaching failure, right?
Yes.
But there is some questions there, but there is some fun mystery box upside too.
Are you you bullish on Gafford too, Danny?
Oh, I like him. I'm bearish on Scotty Brooks, I guess.
Yeah.
Break the whole, like, he'll find a way to play Robin Lopez a bunch still, and find a way to play Alex.
And it's not like it matters when the two vacuums are still there to take all stats. You know?
Good Lord. This fall off for Russ has been precipitous.
Mm-hmm. What was the stat the other day? I remember seeing it on
the 0 for 8 with six fouls and a half. No one has done that before.
Yeah, maybe you tweeted that, Dan.
No, I saw the same one you did.
Okay, because I remember seeing it and I just go, oh my god, it has been an unbelievable drop off. Like I'm glad. I think I'd rather have John Wall than Russell Westbrook.
I mean, that's like real. Would you rather have this burnt toast or would you rather have this old piece of broccoli?
Very true. Very true. But give me that old broccoli. I don't want anything burned. So,
20% in the last two games for Westbrook. And by the way, Gafford's not going to be allowed to rebound because Westbrook takes everything. Just ask Steven Adams.
Brutal. Hope you're good at blocking out, Gafford. Come on.
That's why there's a Lopez there, because they know that Lopez brothers, they are the kings of boxing out. No one better. Yeah, watching Russell Westbrook play right now is painful because it's not so much the drop off as it is the combination of the drop off and the lack of self-awareness.
Yep.
That, like, some guys age gracefully, and we always sort of knew that was going to be a tough one. Every once in a while, he gets up and hammers one home, but in between, oh boy,
he's done.
Yeah. Yeah, he's cooked. And the free throw thing. So that's between the ears.
Oh, yeah, that has been, I mean, it's been screwy ever since they said he can't walk back to the half court line and come back up. Like, that's been his weird tradition. So it's been screwy for him ever since that, you know, that they outlawed that, you know.
That's true, but he was like 70-something with the Rockets last year.
He was better, but he's still not great. Like,
he's like shooting 50.
Yeah. I mean, it's ugly. He's building a house of bricks over there in D.C. So glad to see him not on my team. So
I guess we were talking about Daniel Gafford, though. Yeah,
we were.
Wait, my take on Gafford is you can probably wait and see a little bit on that one, because if he does end up getting the role, I think it's going to come over time. Like, he's going to have to push past. First, he'll have to race past Alex Len.
Yeah.
I'm picturing like Alex Len huffing and puffing on a track. Daniel Gafford, like, hi.
Yeah. Like, all right, that was easy. Okay, what's next here?
He's got Robin Lopez in like a Disney mascot costume. He's huffing and puffing. Daniel Gafford just. But yeah, you can probably pick him up in like a week or two if it looks like he's starting to grab those minutes. I'm telling you guys, I'm on antihistamines from here to the sun. This is going to be a weird one.
Oh, you're going to love this next topic, Dan.
Ooh,
this one's for you. Gorgui Dieng.
Yeah, baby, bring him back.
So the Grizzlies waived him because he had a $17 million salary. Obviously, no one was taking that, but he's going to be extremely valuable. I would argue, not for fantasy, obviously, but for just real-life NBA, he'll be more valuable to contenders than Andre Drummond, right? Because you can play him in the playoffs. He's going to defend. He's going to stretch the floor. He's actually one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA right now, which sounds crazy, but he actually is. That corner three-point shot is absolute money for him. So we all know the fantasy resume for him. 4 years ago, was it? 3 or 4 years ago, 52 in fantasy. The year before, 53 in fantasy in 27 minutes and 32 minutes. This is a guy that does everything on the stat sheet. He is efficient. He's durable. There's a lot of good landing spots too. The teams that have been linked to him, especially the Hornets, like, he would come in immediately and play 24, 26 minutes at least. So I'd rather have Dieng on my team right now than Gafford. And we're only talking about, what's it owned in right now? Probably pretty low, 2% of leagues right now. So there's a player right here who could step in as a top 50 player that's available everywhere. So might as well sit on him if you have a roster spot, because there's about four or five teams, like I said, where he can go be a top 50 player.
And go ahead, Bog.
Well, I was just going to say, give me your Gorgui Dieng, because I have a follow-up question for Jonas about this. So
I love, you know, fantasy analysts. He's one of our darlings, and it never quite happens, unfortunately, because there's like one little thing that, I don't know why teams hate him so much, because he really doesn't do anything poorly. And when I watch him play, I'm not like, oh, this guy's out of position on defense. He actually is generally in the right spot. He's just like always been 2 years too old for whatever team he's on. He's 31 now, so he's going to finally go to an older team. And as soon as we hear where Andre Drummond's going, you pretty much then know where Gorgui's going to go. So you can make that assessment. Okay, you know, Lakers get Drummond. All right, sweet. Gorgui's either going to Boston or Charlotte. Awesome. Great reason to sit on him at that point. And what Jonas said is absolutely right. You can even look at the game log from this year, when Memphis was down JV. He was in protocols for a bit, yeah. And Gorgui had like a week and a half. He had a 15-7 game with 2 threes and 3 defensive stats. He went 19-9 with 3 three balls on 8 out of 10 shooting. And it was just like, oh, JV's back. Sorry, Gorgui, you get to play once every 4 games now. You can go hang out with D'Anthony Melton and you might play tonight, Boat. Get him out of there. This is great news. Mm-hmm. There are a couple spots he could end up where he wouldn't hit that 22, 23 minutes, but that's really all he needs to be a useful fantasy center. That's probably enough Gorgui love. I like that you brought up guys that I like, because I'm all like wired up to go attack someone.
That's the Rashawn Holmes that got away for sure.
And what happened? And like, where's Dwayne Dedman?
That's a good question.
Because he had very similar fantasy game to Gorgui Dieng.
He did. He remember he had the ankle surgery though and was never the same.
Yeah. That's yeah. Cool. Sluggish last yep.
Yeah. Well, come on, Jonas. Everybody wants the JJJ rant. Let's hear it.
I don't want to get into it. I really don't. but I'm going to put a positive spin on it. Give me that ADP discount for next season. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. Post type JJJ. I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Because I saw the tweet that you had earlier this week, and it was, they're saying that, oh, yeah, JJJ, he'll be back, like, maybe at the end of April or whatever they said.
They said a minute in November. He said they'll be out in a minute. We'll have him soon. A minute. And it's been 9 months.
Yeah.
Because they refused to say the details of his surgery, too. They never released that. That's the frustrating thing.
All I could think of was the gif of, what's the movie where they all have little characters for emotions? And there's the little fire guy that blows up, right?
I know like, what you're talking about, yeah.
I just kept inside thinking, it, there it is, Inside Out. I just kept thinking of that one for Jonas. I was like, man, I wish I could be a fly on the wall when Jonas read that.
When Louis Black is in the controls inside Jonas' brain. Yeah.
Get out of here with this.
Yeah.
Is that Louis Black that plays that character?
Yeah.
That is perfect. I had no idea. So zero shares of children, so I haven't seen that movie.
That's
so.
Fifth round pick ever, anyway. For sure.
I'm sure it is a good movie anyway. I just haven't watched it. So.
Yeah.
What's last for you, Jonas? I tried to get the JJJ rant out of him. It wasn't happening. So I got like a little mini version, but I mean, I think that's the, you know, that's the angriest Jonas gets anyway. He's pretty level headed. So
if there wasn't a Moses Brown in the fantasy community or like, you know, these guys that are coming out like Jaden McDaniels, then yeah, I'd probably be more frustrated, but there's a lot of fun stuff going on right now. So I'm not going to worry about it too much, but for the last guy, like I said, Jaden McDaniels starting to do some things. We saw him against Luka Doncic. Doncic shot 0-7 against him. About a week ago, Doncic was on Paul George and put up like 40 points on him. George couldn't get a single stop on him. And here's a rookie, 19-year-old rookie holding Luka to 0-7 shooting. Unheard of. Just an amazing talent. I've called him the next Jonathan Isaac. I'm still more than confident about it. I was very high in Vanderbilt, but Jaden McDaniels has blown him out of the water lately. And to show you how high the Wolves are on him, they wouldn't even listen to the Aaron Gordon trade talk because they didn't want to get rid of Jaden McDaniels. That's the only player Orlando wanted back in return. And they said, nope, not happening. And last night, 14 points, 2 3-pointers, 4 rebounds and 2 blocks in 33 minutes. They used him at the 3 and the 4. So 2% rostered right now. Looks like a huge opportunity to pick him up for the rest of the season.
I love that one, Dan. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll say this. He's a better fit than Jared Vanderbilt, just sort of eye test wise and how the team functions with him playing at that 4. And so I don't really blame Minnesota because, I don't know, maybe you guys disagree with me on this. Don't we all kind of feel like Aaron Gordon is a bit overrated?
Yes.
For sure, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I talked about that a lot because, you know, the Rockets were heavily involved in the Aaron Gordon trade talk. And Welsh was telling me, well, that's, it's a pretty good guy to get. And I said, look, if the Rockets want Aaron Gordon, they'll get him. They have more to give up than anybody else does. Mm-hmm. Right. They have more assets to give up. I hope they don't, because I don't think he's that good. He's injured all the time. He's just OK. I don't think he's like a building piece for for the Rockets. So I didn't like that. I was so happy that he went to Denver.
He's like 33-year-old Blake Griffin, but he's 25 or whatever it is.
Right.
It's the weirdest damn thing. He's like 6 years of an NBA career progression for a stretch 4.
Blake Griffin without the upside is probably what Aaron Gordon
I get it. I do get it for Denver, though. I mean, they gave up a young guard. They have a logjam back there. They gave up Gary Harris, who can't avoid an oblique injury for more than 2 months. And their power forward was Paul Millsap. So
they're on a championship run. Like, it makes it makes sense for them, not for a rebuilding team. So
no, because you're going to have to pay him almost immediately here. So, yeah, McDaniels makes a lot more sense with Minnesota. I don't know about opportunity here with D'Lo and Beasley's back tonight. Actually, I lost track of time here.
Oh yeah. Well.
But yeah, he's someone that I think they'll like. That feels, Jonas. Maybe were you looking more at sort of like keeper dynasty mode here, just in terms of
for
opportunity
sure.
Like, on the upswing. Yeah.
He could emerge in standard leagues on the block rate alone, obviously, right? Because if you get 2 blocks a game, you're standard league relevant immediately. But yeah, more so long term, he's going to be a stud as early as next season, I think. And like I said, every time they talk about him in practice, they call him the Beast. That's his nickname in Minnesota. The Beast swats everything. So really like him.
Well, because that's the one spot on the floor where they really don't have a sure thing at the moment. So, you know,
Towns going to be bothered to play defense.
And Juancho Hernan Gomez is not the answer at the four. Well, then you got what? Beasley, D'Lo, and Anthony Edwards at the other three spots. So yeah, you got an open run here for a young kid with a lot of upside. He could just be starters minutes. Even this year, he could play starters minutes.
Be awesome.
Glad they didn't get Aaron Gordon. So
yep.
All right, Dan, you're up. What do you got?
I'm actually taking us all the way back to Bogman, where we started, and that's in Miami, because I want to go old Miami. And that is, you know, I did the same thing that I assume everybody else does, but I don't know that anyone would think I did it, which is I saw yesterday's box score for the Heat, and I thought, you know, so-and-so isn't here there yet. Isn't in town, I should say. And then I went back and I looked and I went, wait a minute, who actually isn't in Miami, Victor Oladipo and Nemanja Bjelica. Those are the guys that were missing from yesterday's game. Kendrick Nunn hurt himself partway through. Kaze Opala didn't play, but you know, tends to be more of a backup guy anyway.
Yeah.
And then I re-looked at the box score and went, well, wait a minute here. Trevor Ariza played 31 minutes, had 14, 9, and 5 with 2 steals, 2 blocks, and 2 3-pointers. What really is stopping him from playing 28 minutes a game the rest of the way? Is it Bjelica? The Michelin man? Like, that, and it's possible. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is a guaranteed thing, but Bielitsa doesn't, in my mind, fit what the Heat are usually looking for
But isn't he like a curse, though? Isn't he like, anytime you think you have something good with someone, Bielitsa comes in and ruins it, right?
I did have the Bielitsa voodoo doll thing going on last year and the year before. But this year he broke his voodoo doll because he couldn't crack the rotation in Sacramento.
Right.
So that's what I did, sort of that retread. Like, wait a minute, this guy couldn't even play for the Kings and they're atrocious. The Heat are going to be trying to win hard on a nightly basis. And Spo, you know, he goes hot hand all the time. There's actually a weird world where Trevor Ariza does this again. So I added him in 2 spots. I wanted to get your takes on whether or not Trevor Ariza could actually, like, try to separate yourself from the fact that Ariza hasn't played all year and is like 52 years old. And then just look at the rest of the roster and say, well, Kelly Olynyk was playing 30 minutes a night in that spot on the roster. So Bogman, why not Trevor?
Dude, I like Trevor. I've always been a Trevor Ariza fan. I held him. I have a 16-man basketball league where I held him for a while. You know, he's out with the personal stuff forever, so he's rested too. I'm with you on this. I think Trevor Ariza could be productive. It's just keeping those minutes once, you know, Oladipo comes in and all that stuff. So as long as he's keeping minutes, if he can, you know, get into the mid-20s and keep it, I'm with you. The guy is still, you know, even though he's effing 100, like you just said, he's still going to get steals and blocks and drop the occasional three. So I really like him.
He's still like 2 to 3 years younger than we are, Bogman. So
I was covering the Miami game yesterday, by the way, and as soon as I saw Ariza's final line, I was like, Dan's doing the Antonio Banderas gif right now.
Well, I saw it, and I did the thing that I was saying, which was like, Trevor, like, that's got to be a fill-in. And then I looked at the roster and I went, wait a minute, like, Olynyk's gone, Bielitsa's terrible, Maybe I shouldn't write this off so quickly, but sorry, go ahead, Jonas.
There is one more roadblock, though. Like, I'm with you. I think he's a pickup now, but they're the favorites for LaMarcus Aldridge. And yeah, as cooked as he is, just the name alone gets him, what, 24 minutes probably just to see how he does. So that's really the only roadblock here.
Yeah,
he'll go to the Rockets to play with all the rest of the Longhorns. So we'll see. Obviously not.
But. Yeah, he's gotta go play for a bad team and get that next contract.
Your next subject, and I like that. Adam is here with us, and your next subject is on the Kings, and he says, "Morning, gentlemen. What are your thoughts on Chuma Okeke the rest of the season? I tried to go pick him up in my home league, but somebody was watching the Hoopball Deadline special and heard Adam talking about him and went and snapped him up before I could." So,
yeah. So that's my question for each of you guys is, what do we think is going on with the Orlando, everything else? Cause we've talked about, a little bit of it. We talked about the front court, and we know, Jonas, I liked your response to my Terrence Ross tweet, which is, yeah, Coward, add another zero. Yeah. Ross is going to take 300 shots a night, but there are other spots out there. We got like a little flavor of it yesterday, but they were, unlike the Heat, who were missing basically just Oladipo, the Magic were missing everybody yesterday. Yeah. There was no one. I'm going to make sure that I get the actual list right from last night. So the Magic were without Terrence Ross, Wendell Carter Jr., Otto Porter Jr., Cole Anthony is still out for them. He's been hurt. Gary Harris and RJ Hampton, all out and expected to play at some point this year for the Magic. So last night, Kem Birch had a big line. Chuma Okeke had a big line. James Ennis had a pretty big line. He played 36 minutes. Chasen Randall started at point guard. Dwayne Bacon played 35 minutes. What do we actually think is going to shake out there? And I'll throw my own thoughts, so that I it doesn't feel like I'm just throwing you guys under the bus on it, because it's a little gross. Chuma Okeke, yes, I agree with what we've talked about. You have to pick him up to sort of see what happens, because he's their young guy that they want to get in there. A lot of these other guys are actually not that young anymore that we saw yesterday. Yeah. So when you're like, well, Otto Porter is an old goat. Yeah, but like Otto Porter versus James Ennis.
Yeah.
They're both old. You might as well play the one who's better. So obviously Terrence Ross belongs on fantasy rosters. I think Okeke is a guy that we can all generally agree does as well. I'm also stashing Otto Porter where I can. Oh, and Wendell Carter Jr. where I can. I feel like those guys rise to the top, but you guys know I also hate young players. So Jonas, I'm putting you first. What do I need to know about RJ Hampton?
Okay, so I'm going to echo all your comments first. I agree with pretty much everything you said. Real quick, I know Chuma, before I go to RJ Hampton, he was a absolute monster in college, right? And then he missed a year, so he's still getting his legs under him. But in college, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 1.2 blocks in 29 minutes. He was kind of like the fantasy community darling and rookie dynasty drafts, I remember. So very high in him once he gets his legs under him. And 2 good games in a row, too, as well. So he's a young guy you're looking at. And RJ Hampton, I am not adding yet, but I will say I've seen him in flashes, and he can jump out of the gym. Not enough of a sample size to see what he can do in the stat sheet yet, but he will get chances, right? Because Cole Anthony's still hurt, and they have nothing there. Chasen Randall's not an NBA player. He's just a temporary fill-in. So there is a huge path.
We're hammering him this show.
I know. The Chasen Randall show. But yeah, I think RJ Hampton is pretty much like the mystery box upside guy there, and Chuma's the guy you got to add now.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I mean, you look at the guard situation, you go, ugh.
Yep.
Like, yeah. What I really want is Gary Harris to get healthy as soon as he possibly can.
Which will never happen, right?
Yeah, yeah. Which just is not going to happen, like you said. Yeah. So that's what I want. But, you know what Billy Bob says in Bad Santa, one hand and S in the other, and see which one fills up first. So, I'm with you guys. Look, I like James Ennis. If he can get minutes, you know, he might be good in a real deep league for a little bit while he's getting a decent amount of minutes, but I don't think it's going to last, obviously. So I'm with you guys. I wish Mo Bamba would do something. That would be fun.
Yeah.
But,
too many red flags with conditioning, apparently. He can't play more than 20 minutes yet.
Right. Mm. So, no.
Let's just see what Terrence Ross does.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right. It's pretty much the Terrence Ross show at this point. And, you know, they're tearing it down to try to get some high picks and get their guys back next year. You know, they get Isaac back and Fultz back, and they can kind of move ahead from there with some high draft picks. So it looks like it's full bottom out for the Magic from this point on.
Can we give a quick, and I did it on the live show on Thursday, but can we give a little love to Terrence Ross's Twitter work on Thursday? It was so good.
Joel Embiid level good.
Yeah.
I didn't even see it. What'd he do?
So he tweeted out the Captain Phillip, I'm the captain now. moment, as every one of his teammates was traded away and he remained.
The Samuel L. Jackson one where the old guy is like me looking at my teammates because he's like the old Samuel L. Jackson gif where he's like staring at him is pretty great.
Oh, Terrence. Absolutely fantastic. All right, my last one is Pistons. I want to take us to Motown for our last topic here because they are or should be in sort of full teardown. But they did just give a ton of money to Jeremy Grant. So, you know, he's still chucking away on a nightly basis right now. His efficiency has taken a massive hit. I was also skeptical that they could move Mason Plumlee because they just gave him a 3-year deal also. And guys with that much time left just sort of don't get moved. So a penny for each of your thoughts. And Bogman, you get to go first on this one on guys like Isaiah Stewart. And then the Pistons backcourt, because I know we're waiting on Killian Hayes. We're also actually kind of waiting on Dennis Smith Jr. because he was hurt last night. Is there anything else folks should be looking at? Does that sort of run the table on them? What's your plan in terms of pickups, stashes, whatever?
Corey Joseph, man. You got to go get him, of course. You know?
Oh, God. Yeah. Brewski's never going to listen to the show again, that's for sure.
Obviously not. No, I mean, I'm not really excited for what the Pistons have going on here. I mean, Bay has been good. You know, I would like to see Killian Hayes get some time at the end of the year. But even if he does, what's it going to be? Is it going to be enough? I doubt it. So, yeah. I don't know. Wayne Ellington can go on some nice streaks, you know, where he's dropping threes in there like nobody's business. So maybe he's someone to keep an eye on if he heats up. I have Mason Plumlee all over the place, so obviously I like him, but I don't know. There's not a lot to like here in Detroit for me.
Yeah, I think the only interesting thing to watch is Dennis Smith Jr. Like, been a DSJ hater for the last couple of years because he couldn't hit anything, but he's actually shooting pretty well this season. He said he stayed in the gym all summer, like taking hundreds and hundreds of threes, so he actually looked pretty good there. And what intrigued me the most is his defensive upside lately. He's been really good on defense. That's not something he's been good at dating back to his NCAA days with NC State. So been kind of impressing them. And with how bad Killian Hayes was, obviously Killian Hayes is just super raw. Like, he's going to be fine long-term, but I could see a scenario in which DSJ is starting over him the rest of the season. And like Dan says, a streamer with benefits, kind of.
I was thinking it. Yeah. I was thinking it. And it seems like they're almost setting themselves up to start two point guards because they've had Frank Jackson in there with DeLon Wright for a while. So you might even see Dennis Smith Jr. and Killian Hayes running side by side. And Bogman, you mentioned Sadiq Bey. Yeah, I forgot to throw his name out there. He's been pretty good here lately. And he's sort of like your safe high floor guy on that team. I wish that we'd see some Mason Plumlee rest days because Stewart looks pretty good, but I don't, you know.
No, I have Mason Plumlee on too many teams, so no thank you.
I think he's pulling. You might get him like a day off every 3 or 4 games, something like that, but he's there, man. And we heard this report that he was like one of the Dwayne Casey targets this offseason, so
yeah,
they love him. They'll play him. He's a facilitator on a bad young team, and I think they sort of need that too.
Yeah, absolutely. And Stewart will get like 26 minutes, 20 minutes here and there, and it won't really come at the expense of Plumlee because Casey said he wants Stewart to play some four. Like, they want to expand his game. So they've been encouraging Stewart to hit threes as well. So he's starting to take them.
Is he the strongest man in the NBA now? That dude is huge.
He must be. He got ejected last night, too. So a bunch of people dropped him without knowing. He only played 6 minutes. So,
yeah, I saw that he got ejected. I was like, what was it him and Blake got into it a little bit?
Yeah. Jawing at each other.
Yeah. That's going to make me like Stewart way more, too. So I like that.
Gee, what a surprise. Pistons don't like Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, has there been, you know, what has been worse for Detroit, like the lack of the economy or signing Blake Griffin? You know what I mean? I think it's pretty close in Detroit.
Yep, so, exactly.
Did Stan Van Gundy move? Was he still there for that one?
He was. Mm-hmm. He was the one that made it. Yep.
Oof. Was he? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Blake Griffin.
Tobias Harris went the other way, right?
Yeah,
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
what was the trade that they just rejected? Was it Bagley for Bay?
Yeah,
yeah.
They offered sorry, the Kings offered Bagley for Bay, and I bet the Pistons just laughed.
My God, can you imagine if, just imagine if the move that the moves that the Kings made, just think if they were the Knicks, right? Or Boston, or a team with Chicago, a team with a crazy, rabid, loyal fan base. I mean, they would, the front office would be dead.
They'd be done.
People would kill them.
This move they just made was probably the best Kings roster move in like a decade.
Yeah.
Turning Corey Joseph into DeLon Wright? That's a great move.
Okay. Apart from Halliburton, obviously. Halliburton's like the one thing they got right.
Yeah.
They stole two feathers in the cap of the new regime out there, the Monty McNair era.
Yeah.
So it's starting to look better. It's starting to look better.
Yeah, Vladdy Marvin like running his restaurant or whatever he's doing out there.
Yeah.
Rough times.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna replace burgers with kale patties. That's what
oh, that's next where I live. Idea. Boggs, that's West LA.
Yeah. not Northern California. So they don't do it as much up there.
To the burger, you cannot take the cheese off of your burger. It comes inside the lettuce wrap. God, give me a patty. Jerk. Where do I gotta go? I gotta find the nearest In-N-Out. Yeah, I know I was gonna get pissed about something on the show. And then you brought up like kale burgers. I became angry.
Oh, that's funny. All right, a couple questions before we go here.
Happy Passover, everyone.
I saw someone ask, is Herter a straight drop at this point? We'd all say
easily.
That. Yeah. So I think that's the big one. I think that actually might be the only question that we had. It was just everyone else talking about. Giannis here says we're all praying that Drummond doesn't end up in Boston so we can ride out the Time Lord. But I mean, Drummond, that looks like it's the Lakers, right?
Yeah, Lakers are got to be the favorites. Woj already said they offered him the starting center job, which of course he's going to start there. What's they got?
Right. Yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Boston probably does get a center since they sent away. What are they? They brought in Mo Wagner, though, right? To replace Daniel Tice.
Right.
They probably need someone that's not Tristan Thompson. And it's not that big of a deal because Time Lord, even in 20 minutes, is an absolute cruising monster.
Exactly.
So fear not, fantasy community. He will be great regardless of who comes in.
Yep.
I hate that I have to compliment an Aggie, but I tell you what, in my home baseball league, I just added someone who's a Ravens and an Aggies fan. So, you know, in my home league. So look at that. I can be impartial. You know, yeah, I know I talk about Texas a lot on this show. So
you were wasted, weren't you?
A little bit. So,
yeah.
You know, I might've been, I was Cali sober is what they call it. So, you know,
is that a thing?
That is a thing.
Cali I'll be darned.
So, but I think that's going to wrap it up for us. You guys got anything else you want to talk about or are we done here?
Adam hit a pretty good question right at the tail end. I'm going to throw that up there.
Yeah, it was, are you guys interested in Hartenstein with Jarrett Allen ruled out? Yes.
Oh, right? Why is Allen ruled out? Just resting?
I didn't see it either.
Must have been recent.
DNP must lose.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, concussion. Oh, wow.
Okay. Oh, God.
Oh, he got dinged in LA, no. Huh?
Yeah, Hardison's a good player.
Yeah, he can rack up stats pretty quick. You have to be in a spot where there's no other centers. I guess they could play Larry Nance at center the whole game, but...
Yeah.
That was another one of those Maury moves, giving away Isaiah Hartenstein in like that. So
remember when he was the only center on the roster and everyone streamed him for a night and he didn't play? Yeah. And they played PJ Tucker 48 minutes. I remember that.
That was the beginning of the ultimate small ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was almost like they were doing a Billy Bean thing. If you watch Moneyball, where they're like, yeah, you're not going to start Giambi at first. He's like, look, Billy, I'm not going to go 20 rounds with you. All right. I own the lineup. You own the roster. He's like, yeah, I traded him. So you got to start Hatterberg. You know, it's kind of one of those deals. It felt like that with Hartenstein in Houston. Obviously,
your choice is play Isaiah Hartenstein or play five guards.
Right. Yeah. I guess I'll go with Hartenstein. No. We cut him. So guards. Go with the guards. So
I dig it.
All right, boys. Well, that is going to wrap it up. Go make your pickups. Watch all the good basketball going on. The trade deadline is over. So it's we're getting it down to the nitty gritty. It's going to be playoff time before you know it. And we're going to get a full season in. I'm just excited to get to the end of the regular season with no major stoppages or anything, knock on wood, you know, right. It's been, I mean, I might be able to get vaccinated in a couple days here too. So it looks like everything's trending upward to, you know, things returning to normal at some point in the near future, whatever normal means now. So that has been a lot of fun too. So Dan, why don't you tell us what's going on at HoopBall?
Oh, you know, just Trevor Ariza everywhere. Just, you know,
Trevor Ariza and antihistamines, you know, yeah, you know how I be.
A Linux breakout in Houston.
That's right. Tell you, Linux breakout in Houston. I'll answer the, I don't have anything special. Just keep following me on Twitter. Everything I do, I announce there at Dan Vesperus. HoopBall's got so much stuff going all the time. We actually added Celtics, Raptors and Wolves coverage to the mix recently. So that's kind of nice. Cool. Nice. My answer to you, Kenji, by the way, that was a question that came in at the very end, is that no, I think Evan Fournier falls off a cliff here pretty good. And Chris Boucher, incredible fantasy game, very rarely in the right place on defense. So it's not that Nick Nurse hates him. It's that you need a center who understands how defensive rotations work. He gets a lot of his stats recovering off of mistakes. And so there's a lot of learning left to do there. But hold on tight. Like, unless they are the Andre Drummond team, but I don't know. It feels unlikely. There's not a whole house to go. So that's my promo, is to answer another question, because I got nothing special other than me like swimming in a cloud of Benadryl.
Well, I love it. I want, you know what I want? We need like a Dan Takes Benadryl blog. That's what we need. So
it vacillates between like very happy and really irritated.
Are you like, are you smart enough to like completely? Cause I do this, like, when I'm taking some medicine to get California sober, I will, I'll leave my phone away from me so I can't tweet. You know what I mean?
I love it.
Okay. That's what I just need the Benadryl thoughts of Dan Vesperus at the end of the night. That's what
they're,
I want to see more.
They're pretty relaxed for the most part. Yeah. I don't really drink.
You don't start having government conspirations or anything? No.
So I'm going to give the listeners way more than they need to know on this. I've taken Benadryl so many times in my life. When I was a kid, I got poison oak and I was on Benadryl for about 45 straight days.
Oh my
just to
God.
Keep from like completely being covered in it. So it has very little effect on me now. I just get kind of drowsy and a little bit pleased.
You're like the guy from The Princess Bride, Wesley, who's developed the developed the resistance to the poison.
Immunity.
I don't know how I got to The Princess Bride off of you taking
always a good step.
It's a great movie. Jonas, what's going on at NBC Sports Edge coming up here?
In about 12 hours, I'll drop the waiver wire columns and you'll definitely see some Ariza in there. And on Tuesdays, I'll be back for the Twitch live chat, 2 o'clock awesome. Eastern.
Awesome. Well, you know, continued basketball coverage here at In This League. The Welsh and I do the show Monday night for Tuesday morning. And obviously we do the Real Big Three, which is moving to Fridays. I know we're recording this on a Saturday. We are moving this to Fridays. I might have to be a little bit late next week, so I'll tell you guys about that when we're done with this this show here. But we're moving from Thursday to Friday. The time change just screwed everything up. So because Dan's got to pick up his kids, and I have to record a radio show, and those things don't cross well on Thursdays for us. So we're taking our talents to Fridays. So that's what we're doing. So that will be moving forward the schedule. But remember, you can follow us all on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at Jonas Nader, at Dan Vesperus. We will see you guys next Friday. See you, everybody.